Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Philemon. And for those who haven't been with us here recently, we have been preaching through the book of Philemon as a series, as a break from our regular series through Samuel, for Samuel. And we're doing a short New Testament book, Philemon, which comes right before the book of Hebrews. And this morning, we're going to focus in this morning on Philemon 5 through 7, but I'm going to actually read for our scripture reading 4 through 8. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who has become my son while I was in chains. Thus the reading of God's word from Philemon. I think it's true of most everyone that the translation of the Bible they like to read is the one they grew up on. And that is true for me. I grew up on the New International Version. I've continued to preach and read the New International Version, both for my private devotions and the work that I do among you. But that doesn't mean that I always think the New International Version is the most accurate translation of certain particular verses. And this morning you will notice in the insert I have included in your bulletins, I have put there the verses 4 through 7 from the NIV version and verses 4 through 7 from the New American Standard version. And the reason for that is because in particular verse 5 of Philemon, there has been somewhat of a translation controversy. And the translators of the NIV have made certain decisions, and the translators of the New American Standard Version have made certain decisions. And in this case, I believe the New American Standard Version has made the best decisions. The controversy, and please look on your outlines there, or on your outlines, because that contrast is important for you to see this morning. The controversy has been over verse 5 and the order of the words faith and love. I've put them in bold for you. Verse 5, because I hear about your faith, says the NIV, in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. Faith is listed first, and love is listed second. In the New American Standard, verse 5, the order is reversed. Because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. The NIV has faith first and then love. The New American Standard has love first and then faith. Well, if you were to look at the original Greek text, the Greek original of which Paul wrote with his very hand has the word love first and the word faith second. But why then would the translators of the NIV reverse that order? Well, one of the reasons is because of similar parallel passages. in just about all the other letters in which Paul writes, where he mentions the words faith and love together, faith is almost always mentioned first. One example is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. In Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, we read this. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So, as in Philemon, as Paul begins his letter, and he writes concerning his prayers of thanks, and his prayers always, he's not stopped giving thanks, Ephesians tells us, verse 16. He mentions that he gives thanks for their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for all the saints. Another similar passage, the book of Colossians. Colossians comes right after Philippians, just a couple books over. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Paul begins his letter this way. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of the love you have for the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Again, as Paul writes concerning his prayers of thanks for the Colossians, he writes thanks and prayers because he has heard of their faith, first, in the Lord Jesus, and the love that they have for the saints. And so it would be natural then for a translator to say, in all the other passages, faith comes before love. So when Paul writes the letter to Philemon, we should translate it as faith coming before love. And you see, the writers of the NIV have made that decision. But think about it. Where else in Paul's letters does he mention love before faith? We cannot be justified by love. We're justified by faith. Love is the outworking of our faith. Our faith is made visible in love. Faith is the foundation of which all of our love flows. And Paul makes this point over and over in his letters. So why then would he, in Philemon verse 5, put love before faith? Well, there's a very good reason for that. And we know that Paul is not just made a mistake here. Some have said that perhaps Paul, in his older age, he was in his 60s as he wrote this letter, perhaps the imprisonment has gotten to him. He's been in prison for a long time. Maybe as he wrote, he just reversed the order because he made a mistake. Well, no. Because if you look at the structure of these verses, you will see that the apostle has carefully constructed the way these verses read. In your outlines at the top, we have a chiastic structure. And in that chiastic structure, we see how the passage flows as Paul intended to write it. From the Greek reading, we see that love is listed first in verse 5, and then faith is mentioned later in verse 5. As you go to verse 6, you will see that the apostle mentions faith, and he describes further the faith of Philemon that he is thankful for. And then in verse 7, he gives thanks for the love of which he has heard that Philemon has expressed to the saints. Love,
faith, faith, love. A-B-B-A chiastic structure. The chiastic structure proves for us that Paul has not made a mistake here. He has a particular point he wants to make to us concerning the love and faith as the passage builds concerning Philemon. But what is that point then? Why the big deal about these very points? After all, it's just two words, and what difference does it make if they're reversed or not? Well, the answer to that will be found as you begin to look at other decisions the translators of the NIV have made. In verse 5, on your outlines there under NIV, notice that the writers of the NIV have attached the words faith and love to particular other words in the scripture. Verse 5, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Now remember the passages we read from Ephesians and Colossians. In both of those passages, as Paul is describing his prayers, he gives thanks because he's heard about their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for all the saints. Faith being attached to the Lord Jesus, love being attached to the saints. But that's not the way it reads in the Greek. And the NASV there on your page reflects that. The better translation would be, because I hear of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Now, someone might look at that verse and the way it's translated here in the New American Standard and say, well, I can see how Paul can be thankful for Philemon's love toward the Lord Jesus and his love toward all the saints, but how can he be thankful for both faith in the Lord Jesus and faith toward all the saints? How can we have faith in saints? I can understand how we have love towards the saints. I can understand how we have faith toward the Lord Jesus. But how do you have faith toward the saints? And so again, the writers, the translators of the NIV, made their decision to say what they believe Paul is actually saying. Faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all the saints. But that's not what Paul is doing in our passage. Paul has a specific point that he wants to make to Philemon and that he makes to us as we read these words and this verse that Paul has written. Looking there on your outlines under the New American Standard Version, let's look more closely how this passage is building. In verse 4, Paul writes that in his prayers, he is thanking God always for Philemon. Why is he thanking God always for Philemon? What has Philemon done that would cause Paul to give thanks for him? Verse 5, because I hear of your love and the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Well, we can understand what it means that Philemon has love toward the Lord Jesus and toward the saints. We can understand he's thankful for Philemon's faith, which is toward the Lord Jesus. But what does it mean, Philemon's faith toward all the saints? Well, remember our structure, the structure of our passage. In verse 6, he addresses that faith. He specifically mentions why he is giving thanks to God for that faith. I pray, verse 6, that the fellowship of your faith may become effective. The fellowship of your faith. The NIV translates the sharing of your faith. I like Fellowship of Your Faith better, because what it is saying and what Paul is meaning to say is that Philemon has faith in the fellowship of the faith. The fellowship of the faith is the fellowship that Philemon and all the saints will someday experience in heaven. Everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ, everyone who has been saved and delivered from their sins, will someday be in heaven with Him, gathered around the wedding supper of the Lamb, and that will be the perfect eternal fellowship of the faith. All those who know Jesus Christ will be gathered there in that important fellowship, eternal and forever. And Paul is praying now that Philemon's fellowship of the faith will become effective even now. In fact, Philemon has already demonstrated that in his life. We read in Philemon verse 2 that Paul sends greetings to the church that meets in Philemon's home. Philemon has a house so big, a church can meet in it. Philemon is a wealthy man. Philemon has opened up his house and his life to the saints. The saints who were not very wealthy, the saints who were often persecuted for their faith and their love for Christ. And Philemon has opened up his home for the fellowship of the faith. And so as Paul writes verse 5, and he gives thanks in his prayers for the faith which he has toward the Lord Jesus and the faith toward the saints. Philemon right now, as he lives on earth, is expressing the fellowship of the faith, which he knows he will experience someday in heaven with all the saints. He is living that faith now on this earth. He's opened up his home. He's expressing his faith toward the saints. And how is that faith effective? Verse 6, through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. That faith is built around Christ. Every good thing that is in you comes from Christ. That's Christ's gift to His saints. That's Christ's gifts to His people. That fellowship of the faith becomes effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. The love for Christ is present in Philemon. The love for Christ is what makes that faith effective. The love of Christ, which is willing to give and to sacrifice for other saints. Now, why is this Paul's prayer for Philemon? Philemon's already doing that, isn't he? Philemon has opened up his home. Philemon has shared his love and faith with the other saints as he lives and as he interacts with them, as he enjoys their fellowship, as this wealthy man gives to them. Why then does Paul have to make the specific point at the beginning of this letter that he is praying that he may be active in sharing his faith, the NIV says. Or that he may be, as the NRSV or NASV, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may be effective. Like, for some reason, it's not effective now. Well, remember what we read in verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, am now a prisoner of Christ. And I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. The whole reason the apostle is writing this letter is that Onesimus, Philemon's runaway slave, is returning to his master. Onesimus has run away. We don't know why. But one thing we do know is that a runaway slave, when he returned to his master, was punished severely for running away. It was made clear that he would never run away again. And now Onesimus has become a brother in the Lord. Verse 15, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and a brother in the Lord. So as Paul begins his letter, and he is expressing his thanks and his prayers for Philemon, he makes specific mention to pray that he may be active in sharing his faith, or that he may have an effective fellowship of the faith. For even people like Philemon. For Philemon's slave, Onesimus. You see, Onesimus has run away. Onesimus is someone who is now a saint, but who Philemon may have trouble fellowshipping with as a saint. He's run away and deserves to be punished. And Paul tells him to receive him as a brother in the Lord and to enjoy with him, his slave, the fellowship of the faith that he will someday enjoy with all the saints in heaven. Because of every good thing that is in him, in Christ. What Paul speaks to Philemon, he also speaks to us. It's easy to have fellowship of the faith with certain people. It's easy to enjoy that fellowship of the faith with certain people. But Paul's message to Philemon is that there are some who it's not easy to have that fellowship of the faith with. But his prayer and the prayer of the Savior is that you as saints could have fellowship with the faith even with those who it's not easy to have it with. Sometimes it means you have to forgive. Sometimes it means you have to give of yourself and humble yourself. Sometimes it means, as husbands and wives that have conflict, you recognize the fellowship of the faith that Christ has given you and how it needs to be expressed. Sometimes it means that fellow brothers and sisters in your congregation or in your family who may not be easy to get along with, you have fellowship of the faith with them because of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. But Paul isn't finished yet, is he? Verse 7, he goes on to tell Philemon that his love, Philemon's love, has brought Paul much joy and comfort. Verse 7 of New American Standard, for I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love. What love is Paul referring to? Verse 5, he has heard of Philemon's love, which he has directed toward the Lord Jesus and toward the saints. Paul has heard from thousands of miles away in a Roman prison, perhaps even from Onesimus, how Philemon has demonstrated love in his life, not only towards his Savior for what his Savior has done for him, but towards other saints. He's opened his home to these saints. He's no doubt helped them through whatever situation they may have found themselves, perhaps rescuing them from persecution or trouble. And as Paul has heard of this other saint's love for other saints, it has brought him joy and comfort, because Paul can recognize the fellowship of the saints in heaven being expressed now on this earth. Joy and comfort from knowing the Lord Jesus and sitting in his presence. And as the saints in heaven are gathered from him, eternal joy and comfort, which has come to Paul because he has seen this love expressed through Philemon to saints even on earth. And what has it cost? Look at the end of verse 7. Because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Philemon's love for the saints gives Paul joy and comfort, because the hearts of those saints going through such difficult times have been refreshed through the visible evidence of Philemon's faith and love for the Savior as it is expressed to them. Think how much it is refreshing to you when you hear a missionary come and he shares with you the love of the saints that has taken place on his mission field. Think how much when a saint is going through a difficult time and church members bring them meals and food as an expression of love. Their hearts are refreshed through the visible work of the grace of Christ expressed to another. That's what Paul is saying to Philemon. Those are the kinds of things he has heard that Philemon has done, and it's brought him joy and comfort. And now, as Onesimus, the runaway slave who deserves punishment and harsh treatment by his master, who is now Paul's brother and Philemon's brother in the Lord, goes back to his master. Think how much Paul's heart would be refreshed to hear of the love and comfort being expressed from Philemon to his runaway slave. Think how much the heart of Onesimus would be refreshed to see visible in his master the forgiveness of Christ and the grace of Christ being expressed to him. One of the ways that the book of Philemon has been used is, some people have said, this book is a justification for slavery. Paul never tells Philemon he can't be a slave. Can't have slaves. He can't have Onesimus return as his slave. But as you read through this book, and as the slave returns as a brother in Christ, this is not a slavery of beating a man and forcing him into slave labor like the Israelites knew in Egypt. This is brother working for brother. It's a whole new order of which Paul is expressing to Philemon and which Paul desires Philemon to know. But Paul's message is not just for Philemon. It's a message for us. Because as Paul gives thanks for the love and the faith which Philemon has toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, so must we have love and faith expressed toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And for Philemon, he would have to do that for someone. It might be difficult to do that too. God has called you to do the same. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for Paul's letter to Philemon and what it teaches us concerning the fellowship of the saints. May we, Lord, already now in this earth experience that fellowship. May we recognize that we belong to you and that we belong to a greater world, more than this earth. But our fellowship here points to the fellowship we will have in heaven. And we know that as we stand before you, there will be no conflicts or difficulty in heaven. For we all belong to you. We are all gathered around our Savior. Our faith and love is directed towards Him. And what a privilege it is now here on this earth to have that faith and love expressed toward other saints because we love Christ. Help us, O God, to live out this fellowship of the saints. Help us, Lord, to reconsider those who we may have difficulty with, those who are the hardest for us to love. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to love one another and express that so that those hearts may be refreshed through the work of your Spirit in us being expressed to them. Lord, may every good thing that belongs to Christ and that has been given to us shine through us as we live for you. We pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.